This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayigash. And of course, within it, we get the chance to see the big, major change in the story from family to nation. We find the Bnei Yisrael back in Egypt, chasing after Tzaphnas Paneach, trying to get him to change his mind about how he's going to deal with his fellow Yosef, Elo Yachol Yosef Lisapek, and Yosef couldn't hold back. Now, what was it about Yehuda's speech that made Yosef unable to handle himself? So the Rosh Hashiva Vishiva Haaretzion Rabbarach Gigi Shlita suggests that Yehuda waived his honor, and he offered to replace Binyamin, thus expressing the trait of humility. Rav Gigi cites the Svasemis, who understands the Pasuk Vayigash Elov Yehuda, that Yehuda came close to him, meaning Yehuda came near to being himself. Yehuda underwent an internal psychological process of assuming responsibility and worrying about his brothers, and his words so deeply impacted upon Yosef that he decided to reveal to his brothers who he, Yosef, truly was. So he puts his voice in tears and he declares, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avicha, is my father still alive? Now what does Yosef, highlight Yaakov's status as his father, not their father, Ha'od Avinu Chai? It seems more correct to use that phraseology. So the late great tells Riverdale, Rosh Shiva of Isaac Osban Zatzal, explained that the brothers were not jealous of the fact that Yaakov offered the unique teaching he gleaned in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever to his son Yosef. Yosef wondered aloud if his father, the one who had offered him these unique teachings, would be able to offer those teachings again. He needed to know that Yaakov would be complete again. He would come back to being alive with the same Ruach HaKodesh. And thus he turned to him and said to the brothers, Ha'od Avi Chai. So before he sends them back to go tell Yaakov, Vayipal at Tzavari Binyamin Achiv Vayevk, he pulls on the necks of Binyamin, his brother, and he cries, Binyamin Bachal Tzavarav. And Rashi cites the Gemara, who notes that the double crying Yosef did for Binyamin was for the Beis HaMikdash. But then why did he cry right now? He should cry at the time of the Beis HaMikdash's destruction. What's he crying so many years in advance? So the late great Rav Shimshon David Pinkus at Tzal explained that when it came to the Yavos, whatever they did in a moment had impact in the past, the present, and the future of Jewish destiny. Time and timing in this regard was irrelevant. And that's the way it works for Bnei Yisrael in total. When we cry, we seem to cry for episodes that are beyond the realm of time, because Bnei Yisrael are Lamala min Ateva, we are above the status of a normal nature. We're told by Yaris Agalos that when Yaakov Avinu saw the wagons, and Rashi notes that Yosef sent the symbol of the wagons insofar as this was the last topic that Yaakov and Yosef had discussed together, that being the topic of Egla Arufa. Now, what's the relevance of the wagons to the issue of Egla Arufa? So, Nissen Alpert Zatzal explained that this was Yosef's practice with his family. He took responsibility. When he brought his brother's incorrect actions to his father's attention, he also took responsibility. And he was now the same Yosef taking responsibility for the family by sending the wagons. This is the opposite of the city in regard to the person who died close to it, which necessitates the Egla Arufa. So he's trying to send a message that what? I learned my lesson from there. I'm taking responsibility, as opposed to the Egla Arufa ceremony, wherein it is declared, Yadenu lo shafchu es adam hazeh, ve'inenu lo ra'u. We didn't spill the blood, we don't have the responsibility. So Yaakov Avinu decides to head down to the land of Egypt, and we're told, Al tira mirda mitzrayma. God tells Yaakov Avinu, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. Now if Yaakov didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael, why did he go? If he was so afraid, why did he bother? Why did he wait? Hashem didn't tell him to go. So Moreinu V'Rabbeinu or Rav Shechter Shlita explained to us that Achdus Yisrael superseded personal desire not to leave the land. And so Yaakov Avinu understood he had to go for Achdus Yisrael, and so hence he went down to Mitzrayim. We're told that Yehuda Shalach Lefanav, Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead, and Rashi highlights that Yaakov sent Yosef ahead to set up, a yeshiva. Now why did he choose Yehuda and not Yisachar or Levi, or those who are more associated with Torah learning? So Yosef Kahneman, Zeichan Tzadok Levracha, Panovich Rav, explained that Yehuda was the only one who was able to say Arvenu, I'll co-sign on his return. Only such a person has the ability to be a Rosh Hashiva. And so therefore he has that ability to step in. Yosef also, when he meets Yaakov Avinu, Vayipol al tzavarav vayif al tzavarav od. Yosef wept on his neck and cried on his neck some more. And Rashi notes that while Yosef did all the crying, it sounds as if Yaakov Avinu didn't do so. And Rashi explains that's because at that moment in time, he was saying Kriya Shema. I remember hearing from Moreno Rav Asher Weiss Shalita, the great Gaon of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Asher highlighted the fact that it was in this most incredible moment when he met Yosef after the long absence that Yaakov chose to recite Shema. The reason was that with the recognition that his future was complete and that the Shekhinah had returned to him, Yaakov wanted to highlight that there was nothing more, nothing in life more gratifying than accepting O Malchus Shamayim, the yoke of heaven. And so at that moment in time, that was the time and the place to declare his Kabbalah O Malchus Shamayim. Finally, in the Haftorah, which Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shalita points out, is completed on Shvi Shal Pesach, when we read the other half of this Haftorah. But we're told, B'Avdi David Melech Aleihem, we're told that in the future, when Am Yisrael comes together, the Yosef Uli Yisrael Echav and Lihudo Uli Yisrael Echav, and the two branches coming together, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, the Yecheskel Navi tells us, V'avdi David Melech Aleihem Leolam, David, my servant, will be the leader over them forever. And Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal noted that Yosef, throughout his growth, was identified as a Chassan Me'ula, as a saint. And Yehuda was Moshe ben Afsho. He overcame his blunders. He elevated himself over his prey. And of the two traits, the person who's the leader must be able to be a Moshe ben Afsho. It's like Rav Govach Zatzal used to tell us that a person can't be a melech unless he has a kupa shel shratzim mutal al tzavaro, unless he has a basket full of skeletons in his closet, so to speak, or a basket of shratzim around his neck. Most people do not have anything to relate to the chassid meula, right? It's very hard when somebody's so perfect, it's hard to relate to them. But any person can relate to a Moshe ben Afsho if he sets his mind to it. So Rav Aaron told us, hence, Yehuda is the one who's worthy of being the king, and Yehuda's descendants are as well. Okay, so with that in mind, we wait for that opportunity where the Kisei David Abdecha Meheira L'socha Tafid, that our Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back to Yerushalayim, and we'll get to that great day of Shabbos, where the Shabbos that will never end, when David HaMelech and his descendant Mashiach will rule once again, and may we get there very soon. Shabbat Shalom to all.